Good morning and welcome to the worship service broadcast live from the 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled, Sometimes I Forget I Am a Nazarite, from Scripture found in Judges 14. This is Kevin Van Heukelum. Invite you to stay tuned and for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning and welcome to all who have come to 8th Reformed to worship and praise the living God together. It's just good to one day a week to come together, brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the family of God, and corporately lift up the name of Jesus and give him all the honor and the glory and the praise that he alone is worthy of. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you're here. We welcome you. We hope you're blessed through this service and that it touches your heart. If you're kind enough to sign our guest book, we would appreciate that. It's on a little shelf right through those doors back there. And name, address, phone number is really helpful. And so we greet you and we hope you're blessed. And then to all of us, it's a special Sunday. It's Sunday. It's really worth coming downstairs today as we get to make our own Sundays down in the fellowship hall. So immediately after the service, it's Sunday, so come on downstairs. And Fred and Willie had a lot to do with this, and it was a wonderful idea. I hope it really catches on. We have a lot of Sundays. It's kind of warm. And looking forward to that. If you're listening via radio, if you hurry, you can still get here. Saying that, I greet everybody joining us via radio, Jethro Radio, some on Jethro.fm, that's the internet, and then we're on YouTube as well as the CDs, and we're just glad we have these opportunities too to reach out to people and to share the good news of who Jesus is and how he transforms lives, gives lives purpose and meaning, and changes everything. I always say that after Jesus came in my life, it was like going from black and white to living color, how it changes the experience of life. And I know it's also a special morning. We'll get to that a little bit later as we get to greet some new members. And that's always a wonderful time in the life of the church as well. And all those who do join us through other means, if you're able to come in person, we just want to make this a personal invitation for you. We meet Lifetime, so that's 9:30 Sunday mornings, and we'd love to have you be part of our fellowship and come and be part of the family here at 8th Reform. And then one other announcement, and that's the month of August. We're helping out Alpha with a diaper drive, and they never have enough diapers. So if you can participate and contribute to that, that's a real blessing. Periodically through the month, some people are already bringing them to Alpha. So if you think, oh, there's not very many coming in, that's not necessarily true. We're delivering as they come. But if you can help out with that, much appreciated. Hear our call to worship from our deliverer as found in Psalm 146. Blessed are those whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Praise the Lord. And let's do that by praising God, standing to sing number 348, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. 1, 2, 4, and 5, My Savior's Love.
Love.
together. Father, words really fail us. We can't even describe how wonderful your love for us is. It defies description. All we can do is bask in it and thank you for it and worship you and praise you. And we can do that individually in our own time, and then to come together as part of the family of God and do that together. What a special blessing that is. And we pray that through this service, you'll be glorified, that this will really rise as a sweet incense into your heavenly throne room, that you'll be blessed, that you'll look down upon us and shine your face upon us and say, those are my children. They're meeting together, lifting up my name. Our prayer is that your Spirit will work in our midst and that you would bind anything that would distract us from worshiping you in spirit and truth. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, it's my privilege to welcome and introduce Aaron Cook. He's one of our own, and he's a grandson to Marty Reimersma. Let's see, a nephew to Todd, right? And we welcome you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for you to return and heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around, 'cause deep down I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no war, and there'll be no chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day. He'll come for the weak and the strong just the same. And all will believe in the power of his name. So come, Jesus. Come, we've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Down, I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come and we'll stand face to face. come and lay it all down. Cause it might be today. The time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your sins will be washed by rivers of grace. So come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return and heal every hurt and right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. 'Cause deep down I know this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. Come, Jesus,
thank you, Aaron, for that powerful message, that beautiful rendition. And yeah, this is what the church has been waiting for 2,000 years. Come, Jesus, come. Maybe today. Thank you again for that message in music. And in the life of the church, it's always a special time when we get to welcome new members. And this morning is one of those special times, and we get to welcome Linda Doughty, and she's been here for a short time, but we've known her for quite a while. She's from what used to be called Faith Church, and now it's called Grace Ann Arbor. But just welcome to you, Linda, and then we also welcome Peggy and Pat. Peggy and Howard Potter, and they come to us from Faith Presbyterian Church out of Granville, and they've been here for close to a year, right around there. And if you need connections, they're actually the parents to Danielle Wagonmaker. And so this is a wonderful time to welcome you. So Linda, I'm going to ask you to stand, and Howard and Peggy, I'm going to ask you to stand at this time too. So people can see who you are, and let's give them a nice warm welcome. And we thank you for picking 8th Reformed to be your new church home, and we look forward to getting to know you more. We look forward to serving the Lord together, worshiping together, to be a blessing to you, as we also pray that you'll be a blessing to us. So thank you again, and this is always a special time in the life of the church, and we are glad that you are here. Let's come before our God with our congregational prayer, and before that, I need to give a update on our church family. And we give praise that Linda Rustiguz is back with us this morning after having her hip replacement surgery, and so that's always really good news. And then some other updates. Mark Davis, that's Howard Davis's son, also now was diagnosed, has two tumors on his brain, which further complicates the situation. The plans are, the intent is to start radiation this week, but this is also giving him significant headaches. And so they're trying to also moderate that pain. And so just pray for Mark, pray for Howard and Mary as they visit and come alongside of him. And yeah, this is a tough road. And then last week we prayed for Marcelle Martinez, and she had bypass surgery at the Heart Hospital, Butterworth, and the surgery went well. She's still in recovery, recovering there, and so continue to keep Marcelle in prayer. And then Ford and Pat Berghorst, they did end up going to Mary Freebed this week. And Lord willing, if things stay on schedule, they might be able to go home later this week. And so we're thankful for that as well. And then Jan Higley had eye surgery last Tuesday and had a stent put in, and that turned out well. So we're thankful with Jan that God answered those prayers. And then Betty Holmes had another tough week and ended up being admitted to Trinity Hospital again, and she's still there. And so kind of just seeing, monitoring her and seeing how they're going to treat her next. And then you got the prayer chain on Amanda Heiboer. She's an EMT, and she was assaulted by one of the patients this past Wednesday evening. Sustained injuries in shoulder, neck, and ribs. She spent a night in the hospital and is now at home recovering, just kind of see how this all turns out. So remember Amanda in prayer. And then good news on Brian Bruxford. He's a missionary, he and his wife Elizabeth, that we support. They're part of aviation mission work in Alaska. And he was at Mayo a couple of weeks, about a month ago now, and had prostate surgery. And that has all gone well. He's back in Alaska, and he's working half days. And he just says, be sure to thank the congregation for the prayers, the cards, and just for your concerns for him and Elizabeth during this time. And then Tim Tacken this week took a turn for him that he didn't count on. Wednesday started having some fever and chills and just aches. And then yesterday morning they ended up at the med station and they tried to do some treatments there. They wonder if it was infection, and sent them home. And then last evening, Tim and Mary Lee ended up going to Zealand Hospital, and they're trying to find out what it is that's causing this. And so Tim is at Zealand Hospital right now. And if you're wondering where our piano player is this morning, that was Mary Lee, and that's why she's not here today. And so the health concern certainly is relevant. But the other thing that's just really hard for Tim is that something he had looked forward to for almost a year is this afternoon at 3 o'clock, he was going to fly to Scotland for a golf vacation on some of the real special golf courses in Scotland. And obviously that's not going to happen. And so that's horribly, if you're a golfer, you can really relate to that. That's horribly disappointing. So besides that and all the health things, we want to keep Tim and Mary Lee in prayer too. So let's come before our Heavenly Father with our congregational prayer. Covenantal God, who adopted us into your family through the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross, we are here for one reason, and that's to worship you, to sing your praises, to glorify your holy name. What an honor and a privilege it is to be allowed to call you Father, and to think that you are the perfect Father, and you love us more than we can measure. Help us to celebrate how wide and long and high and deep is your love that we really are immersed in. We live in your love. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for that blessing. Thank you for when that's real to us. And as we pray for those for whom this is not a reality, for whatever reason. Our prayer is that your Spirit would unlock hearts, would soften hearts, would draw people to yourself. And Father, you know that for each one of us, there's people that are just really dear to us that don't profess you as Savior and Lord. And we can't make it happen. You know we've tried, but only your Spirit can do that. And so we come to you and we pray that your Spirit would soften hearts and then give us wisdom. What to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do, how to navigate those waters. As we pray for spiritual well-being, we then pray for healing power in your presence for all those with physical ailments. And we continue to pray for Marcelle Martinez. We're thankful for Jan Higley's good recovery. Will you be with Ford and Pat Berghorst as they're doing therapy now and then hope to return home? For Mark Davis, who's again on the threshold of just a tough week. For Betty Holmes and this this road that she's been on that's so challenging. We pray for continued healing for Linda Rusticus, even as we give you thanks for all the progress that she has made. We pray for Larry Rudnick, for Linda Rose. Thankful with Brian Bruxford for the restoration that he's experiencing. We ask, Father, for your blessing on Amanda Highbour and what she's been dealing with, and that you would watch over her during this time. We pray for Brett Roberts, Brian Cripps, Ron and Barb Engels, Darlene Somhowowitz, Jim Verstrat, Terry Pepper, Shane Sweeney, and Tim Tacken. And we ask, Father, for those dealing with chronic pain, that you would bring relief and also just come alongside of them. We always pray that there might be restoration yet in healing. And we pray for Michelle Strading, Barb Ish, and Emily Dreyer. We ask for your grace for Lorraine Strading and Al Cucci's on hospice care. Also a season in life that's challenging, but it also reminds us that our hope is within you, because you are the resurrection and the life. You are the hope that we hang on to, and we realize this world is not all that there is, and we're grateful for that. We pray for your ongoing presence for our shut-ins, Phyllis Blodgett, Robert DeYoung, Fran Schuling. And then we pray, Father, for just for seasons of life, and as people get into the later stages of life, deals with so many losses and limitations. Things that once came easy and that were really natural and come and go as we pleased, and then to experience that it's not that way anymore. That sin has affected everything, including our well-being just on a daily basis. We pray for lots of grace in that of what we might call the last quarter. Lots of grace and your special strength that helps us to age gracefully and graciously, and also still to have the testimony that we are not afraid because of the one who holds on to us. And we know that even this morning, there's lots of things going on in different people's lives, and some have not been mentioned, but it's on people's hearts, concerns they have. May your grace truly be sufficient, and will you walk alongside of and uphold people. As we pray for the physical needs, we also pray for emotional needs, be it depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, whatever it might be. We pray, Father, for people who just really struggle with their identity, what we call an identity crisis. And we know that our true identity can only be found in you, nowhere else, no matter where we look. And even with people who end up doing these surgical procedures, Father, we know that that's never the answer, because you alone are the answer. We pray for grace for those who just walk those really hard roads. We pray for those who are developmentally disabled. We pray for people who struggle with addiction, things that keep them prisoner, keep them trapped. And then we pray for people who are prisoners in a real physical way, and that you would also be their freedom, because their hope is in you. And then we remember all who are grieving. And sometimes those losses are real recent, and other times they're from years ago. Maybe it's an anniversary date, something like that. I pray, Father, that you will continue to come alongside of people and help us also in these things to be comforting, encouraging, supportive, and loving to one another. In that, we're reminded of the importance of relationships, to love one another as you have loved us. Teach us, equip us how to do that well. Lord, will you have mercy on our nation, a nation that is so divided? We pray for our leadership and all those that serve at the different levels of government. We pray for our military, for all the men and women who serve, and for those who wait at home. We pray for peace where there is war and turmoil. And you have dealt kindly with us for 250 years. May we not squander your blessings under our watch. Equip us to regain a moral compass that is based on a Christ-centered worldview. And we acknowledge you alone can bless what you can condone. Help us to remember that when we arrogantly go against everything that you have taught us, that you cannot bless us. May our desire be to return to the Word of God and let it have authority over our lives, over the church, over our land. We pray for our missionaries, and we thank you for Justin and Stephanie Myers as they serve in Oman. We ask for protection for them. That's also in a hot spot. Will you watch over them and still give them what they stand in need of to carry out the task that you laid on their hearts? We know the local church is the hope of the world, and we pray for 8th Reform. Keep us faithful to the one that we belong to and your word. Thank you for all who call this their church home. And as we officially welcome Linda and Peggy and Howard, may we be a blessing to each other as we serve and worship you together. We pray for more families with young children, that we might have more opportunity to feed your lambs. And we're thankful for all those who join us via other means. As we study from the book of Judges today, touch our spirits with gratitude that you always send a deliverer in our time of need, and that you, Jesus, are the great deliverer. You never fail. You are our hope, and our trust is in you. As we profess to be your children, equip us to not forget that we are Christians, Christ believers, Christ followers, the one who redeems and transforms, the one who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we'll stand and sing our hymn of preparation, number 528, verses 1, 2, and 3. My faith has found a resting place. 528. Dear congregation, talk about Hebrew privilege. A birth announcement by God himself, or at least by one of the angels. Special instructions for mom during pregnancy. Special instructions for mom and dad on how to raise the boy. A Nazirite from birth. Nazirite meaning someone who was set aside, dedicated to God. A special setting. And then the outward appearances of that were no strong drink, stay away from dead things, never cut your hair. And he was assigned already a special mission before he was even born. Talk about a status title. You will be the deliverer of Israel from the Philistines, the hated Philistines. What a resume for a young man. This is incredible. And the last verse in chapter 13 of the book of Judges, which was last week's sermon, that's where it ended. The last verse says, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Can you imagine how proud and excited Manoah and his wife were? They were barren. They had no children. And now to have this son, this child, with all of this piled on him. It's incredible. Their baby boy, Samson. What a blessing. This is unreal. This is beyond their wildest dreams. What a blessing. And then the challenges of being a parent. We can do all we can do. We can try to raise our children to know the Lord, to walk in the fear of the Lord. And then it seems like they go through puberty and we ask, what happened? Who are these people? What went wrong? Where did we fail? That's not true at all time for all kids. But there is a pattern there. And many times this happens around the same time that dating starts. So let's turn to Judges, book four, or chapter 14. It's page 360 in your pew Bible. And we'll read all of chapter 14. And yes, in case you're wondering, we'll hope to do two more sermons on Samson after this week. So there's four chapters in Judges on Samson. We'll, in case you're wondering if today we're going to be done, no, we're going to cover all of it, Lord willing. Judges chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all of our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. And as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass, and in it he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate it as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some. They too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman. And there Samson held a feast, as was customary for young men. When the people saw him, they chose 30 men to be his companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days they could not give the answer. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Do you invite us here to steal our property? Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You've never given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer." "I haven't even explained it to my father and mother," he replied. "So why should I explain it to you?" She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She in turn explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And Samson said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. And Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast. May God add his blessing. Yes, this is holy and inspired word. In verse 1, what we read, chapter 14, their boy Samson goes to Timnah. Timnah was about 5 miles from where Samson lived. Oh, be careful where you hang out. There's a country music song that says, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." I think Samson could have been the poster boy for that song. What was he doing in Timnah anyway? Well, word was out that there are some really good-looking Philistine women that live there, and that's where he went. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And this is what he saw. A girl so beautiful, it undermined his good judgment. And when he gets home, this is his response. He says to his parents, "Get her for me as my wife. Get her for me as my wife." Sometimes Samson forgot he was a Nazirite. Now these godly parents, they love their boy. Samson's a good boy, and they're so proud of him, and they want to keep peace in the home, and they don't want no trouble at home, and you can't always say no. Oh, they let him know that this isn't appropriate, that this isn't the right thing to do, that this isn't what they would approve of. But it's weak resistance. What do they say? "Oh, Samson, can't you find a good wife among your relatives?" That's kind of funny. There's an old joke. Where's a good place to find a wife? At the family reunion? That's often associated with another state. "Oh, Samson, can't you find somebody among our own people?" Besides, fathers were supposed to initiate this whole event, not this young boy. Samson is headstrong. He's young. "Get her for me. She's right for me." At this point, he hasn't even talked to her. But he knows that she's right for him. He thought it was love at first sight. We, of course, know it was lust at first sight. Samson, like many men, and this is self-incriminating also, but Samson, like many men, could see a lot better than he could think. He could see better than he could think. 1 John 2, verse 16 puts it this way: "For everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they come not from the heavenly Father, they come from the world." Samson was called to deliver them from the Philistines, not marry the Philistines. Sometimes Samson forgot he was a Nazirite. This passage also shows that God is sovereign. God's plans are never thwarted, and he uses even the rebellious behavior in Samson to start him on his mission, the mission to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Verse 5. His parents are now going with Samson into enemy territory. Together, they're going down. Yeah, if you keep your Bibles open, I'll kind of work through it. They're going to Timnah. They're accomplices. Now, they lived during a time when all this stuff happened. That's why there was so much trouble in Israel and what they were going through, because they were intermarrying, they were worshiping other gods. They were doing all of this stuff. And the parents are probably thinking, well, you know, the neighbors are doing this too. Samson's a good boy. He's not that much different than the others, but their boy was a Nazarite. He had been set apart. Sometimes the parents forget he's a Nazarite. Now, on their way to Timnah, it seems like Samson cannot wait to get there. So he runs ahead of his parents, and close to Timnah would happen to be wine country. Did you catch that? That's not a good place for a Nazarite to be hanging out, in wine country. A young lion comes roaring toward him. This, we must not overlook this. This is very symbolic. Satan is often described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In this, God reminds Samson, you are set apart. You are a Nazarite. Your mission is to deliver Israel from these pagan Philistines. And God rescues Samson from this lion by pouring his spirit on him, so that Samson is strong enough to kill this lion with his bare hands. Sometimes Samson forgot he was a Nazarite with a special mission, but God did not forget. Sometimes he just enjoyed his great strength and the things he could do. You know, it'd be cool to be Superman. And for some reason, even after killing this lion, he doesn't tell his parents. It's like, I'm thinking it'd be pretty hard to keep that to yourself, but his parents don't know anything about it. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, Samson is going, there's no need to tell the folks this, because they'll remind me, Samson, you know who you got that strength from, and you know why, and they'll want to just lecture me about something, so I'll keep this to myself. Besides, I have girl business to tend to. We're on our way to Timnah. And he finds this stunning Philistine girl and talks to her. There's the progression. First you look, then you stop, then you talk. It's the progression of evil when we're on the road that is not beneficial for us. This girl must have really been something. She mesmerized Samson, and he wanted to marry her from the moment he saw her. He just wanted her to be his bride. Sometimes Samson forgot he was a Nazarite. Now we move ahead to verse 8, and sometimes later, probably a number of months, Samson is on his way to Timnah again, this time to get married, and his parents are with him once again. You notice his parents didn't have the courage or the backbone to say to Samson, this marriage is not God-honoring. This marriage is a travesty. We're not going with you. We are children of the covenant. Samson, you are being so disobedient. We cannot participate in this. This is sin. No, they went with him. I'm not doubting that probably their hearts were heavy, but they went. And the little family journeys back to Timnah for the wedding party. Samson on the way remembers the encounter he had with the lion a few months earlier, and he decides to go off the trail a bit to see what's happened. How many maggots are in this carcass? Instead, what he finds are bees and honey. Now, touching dead animals didn't seem to be an issue for Samson. Sometimes Samson forgot he was a Nazarite. But in this, even in this, God is reminding him, I promised you the land of milk and honey. I will produce it even in situations like this. We see God's faithfulness. Samson looks at the honey and says, this is good enough to eat. And he gets some for himself and he brings some to his parents. And once again, he doesn't tell them anything about the story or where it came from. And they didn't seem to ask a lot of questions. I'm thinking at this point they're afraid to ask questions of what he might have to say. And so they get to Timnah in verse 10. His father is now all in. He meets Samson's delight, pays the dowry. Samson throws a party. The Philistines like to party. And this was a seven-day party. Besides, they live in wine country. What a great combination. A seven-day party with much alcohol. Sometimes Samson forgot he was a Nazarite. Verse 11 is kind of an interesting verse. It implies that Samson has no friends of his own. And it says, when the people saw him, they chose 30 men to be his companions, in essence, his groomsmen. You think you had a big wedding party. How would you like to have had 30 groomsmen? Sounds hospitable. But the real reason is they don't trust him. They don't trust him. This was more about surveillance and security. And there's always the question about Samson's looks. And I know if you look through your Bible and you see the picture of Samson, it's like he just came from the gym and was bench pressing like 500 pounds. But some people think that Samson didn't look different than anybody else. So it wasn't his physical strength that impressed people. It was just when he needed that, the Spirit of the Lord was poured out on him. Otherwise, he looked just like everybody else. In verse 12, we learn why he didn't tell anyone about his encounter with the lion. He had a plan. I'm going to trick these Philistines. Hey, a little fun at the wedding. A little fun with a riddle. They'll never figure it out. A small wager. 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. As accurate or as trustworthy as Google is, I tried to figure out what this might be worth. And in those days, clothes meant a lot, especially linen clothes. These were linen undergarments that only the wealthy wore. They said this might be worth around $65,000. So this wasn't just like heads I win, tails you lose on a quarter. We're talking big money. Here's the riddle. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Sounds like fun, right? Little party game at the wedding. This took place early in the week. And in verse 15, it says, hey, these groomsmen, these 30 groomsmen, they can't figure it out, and they're starting to get agitated. Really agitated. Now, the Philistines did have a reputation for being cruel people. They were also people that were early on already had iron, and it says that they are the ones that also developed the chariots that had the knives on the wheels. So when the wheels went around, they would try to walk through the foot soldiers and just mow them all down. They were known as cruel, cruel people. So they go after Samson's new wife. You better find the answer. Almost sounds like a mafia encounter. We need the answer. We're going to burn you and your father's household to death. We're not kidding. We're not kidding. What kind of a wench are you? Bringing us here to your wedding party, and now you're trying to not only embarrass us, you're also trying to break us financially. You better help us if you know what's good for you and your family. The strong man has a huge weakness. Women. Women. And his wife cries and she begs and she sobs, oh, Samson, Samson, why won't you tell me? Samson, I'm sure you don't even love me. If you love me, you would tell me. I'm your wife. He's like, I didn't even tell my parents. Why should I tell you? She cried. You want to talk about a fun wedding? She cried all 7 days. And you know what? Samson started out strong, but he started out in his own strength. And so he's able to hold it off for a while, but in day 7, he gives in. As we go through his life story, this is Samson's pattern. We read the story and we recognize it right away. But you know what? We often don't see patterns in our lives, in ourselves. Samson didn't seem to either. The new wife fulfills her mission. The groomsmen show up, and what do they say to Samson? What is sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion? And Samson knows he's been betrayed. To say Samson was upset is a major understatement. And not a very flattering term on your wedding to call your wife a heifer. And it also informs everybody, he knows what has happened. He's onto it. But Samson is a Nazarite, even when he forgets. And the Spirit of the Lord came over him in a powerful way. And that was probably a good thing. Samson had to get out of there. Who knows what he would have done? He is ready to explode. And Samson, God in Samson, uses this anger energy for a good purpose. He goes to the town of Ashkelon. Ashkelon would be a 50-mile round trip. When you're angry, you have a lot of energy. And you can do a lot of stuff. In Ashkelon, Samson kills 30 Philistines. I wonder what was on the news there the next day. He kills 30 Philistines, strips them naked, and brings the loot to the men in Timnah. I hope they realized these were used clothes. Samson is still fuming mad. So angry that he feels the only place he can really go is to his parents' house. The only safe place to go. And I'm thinking it's a good thing he didn't know the next verse where it says, the father, his father-in-law, took his wife and gave her to one of the groomsmen. It's almost a footnote in the story we read, but think that through. Yeah, I was angry and I left, but does that give him the right to take my wife and give her to somebody else? Sometimes Samson forgot. He was a Nazarite. Sometimes I forget I'm a Christian. How about you? How about you? Might we be more like Samson than we care to admit? As you read the story, didn't you just feel it was so disappointing how many times Samson forgot he was a Nazarite? He was set apart. How many times do we forget we've been set apart? We've been set apart. We too have been dedicated to serve God. Would you make part of your routine in your own devotions where you pray to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, will you point out to me where I forget that I'm a Christian? Father, we come to you and we read the story of Samson. And we can point our fingers at him. What was wrong with this guy? Why didn't he get it? And then we look in the mirror. And we don't like what we see. Father, you too have set us apart. In a way, we too are Nazarites. You have put your sign and seal on us. And you have claimed us as your children for a special mission and ministry in our lifetime. Help us to maybe forget about Samson and look at ourselves honestly and say, Father, will you point out all the times and all the places where I forget that I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower? And then through your Spirit, will you equip us to be faithful? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 577, In Times Like These. In Times Like These, 577. Seated. At this time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your abundance. How graciously you deal with us, all the blessings that are ours that come from you, and that you allow us to be stewards of it. And we thank you for that privilege. We thank you for this opportunity to give back. And Father, will you use these gifts in any way you see fit? And will you bless those who give? We pray for a blessing on those that receive. And that through it all, it'll bring the furtherance of your kingdom till you return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 520, the first verse, "The Longer I Serve Him." Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance towards you and grant you his peace, both now and for all of eternity. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune into Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8th. Church.org. And until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.